talks about that. We're not going to take really long tonight. Awana's going to be over in just a few moments, but I think this is huge. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, as you see on the screen. Just one verse we're looking at tonight, and this is the Hall of Faith, different characters in Scripture that are pointed out for their faith. When you come to this character in verse 22, it says, by faith, Joseph. You kind of stop. If you stop right there, you have to ask yourself, all right, Joseph. You could probably count 20 different ways in the book of Genesis that you could use Joseph in Hebrews chapter 11. What area of his life? When you study Joseph, you look at how trustworthy he was as a young person. Whatever he gave Joseph to do, there's many similarities between Joseph and the character David in Scripture. And Daniel being the third one. One of the great similarities is these men were so greatly used by God. And young people, this is important for you to understand. Their greatness in being used by God started at their teen years. God started to see their trustworthiness in their teen years. That's where it was developed. God, by the way, that's the reason I'm telling you now. Much of what you're going to be accomplishing 20 and 25 years from now for the cause of Christ has a lot to do with how trustworthy you are in serving Jesus Christ right now. The different connections that he brings into your life, the different opportunities. He sees you faithful, perhaps in what others would call small things, but in your world it's a big thing, and then he enlarges that. So don't discount where you are in Christ, what God is wanting to do in your life. You see that with Joseph, but it wasn't his youth that was pointed out. It wasn't his patient bearing when he was sold into slavery and he had to go through all that time of then once he was out of the jail the first time, he went to Potiphar's house, he proved himself there, and then found himself right back in jail. And then you have the different dreams that came up with the butler and the baker and how eventually through all these years, Joseph endured very patiently suffering. But that is not what is pointed out as far as his faith in Hebrews 11. Then you had the lack of bitterness. To me, this is an amazing, when you think about the forgiving heart of Joseph, if anybody could be bitter, if anybody could be angry, we're talking about that this past Sunday, it would have been Joseph. I was sold into slavery. I lost basically my older teen years to slavery. I never knew what it was like to see the nephews and the nieces born. I was never able to take a wife on in my younger years. He was very much middle-aged by the time that he had children. There was a portion of his life that was completely separated from everything that he was familiar with into a foreign culture because of this. But yet you find him when he's finally meeting back up with his family, that bitterness had no part of what took place with Joseph. But that's not what was pointed out in Hebrews 11. You don't find these exceptional skills that he had developed through the years of how to deal with people, the wisdom of how to deal with people, and how that would develop. By the way, you do not find this correlation. I've met many and have seen many sermons and series that give a Christology to Joseph, that he's a type of Jesus Christ. There's no direct connection given in Scripture between the two, but you see a lot of parallels in Joseph's life, particularly that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, Luke 2 and verse 52 about Christ. You could see the same thing happening in Joseph's life, though Joseph by no means was perfect. But that wasn't what was pointed out. You don't see how he cared for his family at the end of their life. Very tenderly, Joseph cared. Not just for his brothers that we see in such a beautiful way, forgiveness, but in how he took care of his father. Right to the end, he was very honoring. And this is a great lesson for those of us who have our parents coming of age. To be very honoring. There is no shelf life. There is for obeying, and I mentioned this Sunday, but there is no shelf life on honoring your father and mother. And you see that beautifully played out in Joseph's life. But that wasn't highlighted in Hebrews 11. Go with me now, verse 22, and let's see this one act of faith in this hall of faith that's pointed out about Joseph's life. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. For all the things we just talked about, and now we're going to come to the box of bones of Joseph, and that's where we're going to point out this act of faith. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and there's a key reason why, when you study this passage of Scripture, why this particular instant was chosen. Take your Bibles now and turn back to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Majority of our time will be spent now in the book of Genesis, just the next few minutes. In Genesis chapter 50, you see what the writer of Hebrews, who I believe to be the Apostle Paul, is pointing out. Hebrews chapter 50, it's at the very end of Jacob's life, and then it skips directly forward to the very end of Joseph's life. In verse 22 of Genesis chapter 50, last chapter of the book of Genesis, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Jacob has just passed away, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. In other words, he saw his great-great-grandchildren. And the children also of Manasseh, Makar, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. I'm dying. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel. In other words, he's demanding that they make covenant literally with him, that they promise him, they make an oath to him. And this is the oath. God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We'll refer to that verse in just a moment. So what he says is this to the children left of Israel. At this time, there were probably hundreds. It would not be so many more years. It would be hundreds of thousands and then millions 430 years later. He said, I know this, that God's going to remain true to his promise. I saw him when I heard it about being promised to Abraham. I know it was promised to my grandfather Isaac. I know it was promised to my father Jacob. And I know that God is going to fulfill it. I heard a guy say one time, years ago, this statement. He said, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, one of two things is true. Either you don't understand the situation that you're in, or you know something that no one else knows. I remember when Charles Wood, I heard him make that statement. He goes, you know, when you see somebody that just keeps a calm head through the situation, one of two things is true. Either they don't realize just how in trouble they are, or they know something that no one else knows. Well, I tell you, Joseph was the one who knew something. He believed something. He held on to something that no one else knew. No one else believed to the extent he believed it. The same can be true in your life. What is it that Joseph knew? Well, there's several things here. The biggest one was that Joseph knew that God's promise to Abraham was going to come true. That Jacob then confirmed it in Genesis chapter 48. And now Joseph is responding to the promise that God had made to his great-grandfather and to his father. What promise? In Genesis chapter 15, you don't need to turn there. I'll turn there and read it to you, or you can follow along. Genesis 15, listen to the promise made to Abraham. Genesis 15 and verse 13, it says, and he said unto Abram, this is before he was known as the father of all people, all nations, he was known as the father of many people, Abram. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, he had already given the promise of the land of promise, Canaan land. Now, he's telling him in prophecy, this is hundreds, at least 100 years before this, he's telling him, one day, they're going to face affliction for 400 years. They're going to be in affliction. He's talking about the slavery in Egypt. To be exact, we find out in Exodus chapter 12 that it was 430 years that they were in slavery. He says, for 400 years, verse 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Boy, did he judge that through the 10 plagues. Will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And if you read the story of the Exodus, the Egyptians gave them the bank on the way out. In fact, they gave him so much they wanted it back in just a little while. So Joseph knew this prophecy. He knew that someday, he even knew the time limit of it, around 400 years from now. In the time, by the way, the scripture says that they forgot what Joseph had done for the land of Egypt. Then in Genesis chapter 48, the promise is reiterated with his father Jacob. In verse 21 of Genesis 48, and Israel, this is Jacob, his dad, said unto Joseph, behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I've given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. In verse 22, we don't find that recorded what Jacob says, but somewhere back before all this, Jacob had defeated in battle a skirmish of some type, a mountain that he had taken from the Amorites. And now he's telling Joseph, I'm giving to you this area, especially for you. And once again, Jacob is showing something that was not one of his strong points, and that was his favoritism that he had amongst his children, particularly the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. Jacob, or Joseph, knew. He knew Abraham's promise. He knew it was going to come true with Jacob, so he just took God at his word. Imagine in your my life how much simpler our life would be if we just took God at his word. If we just believed what he said. I heard Mark Lauer years ago say, you know what, we would enjoy the journey a lot better at the end of our life if we would remember what we'll realize at the end of our life. He says, I think when I get to the end of my life, I might be able to look back and say, you know what, I would have enjoyed that a lot more if I just realized I was going to make it through it. Let me tell you this, on the basis of God's word, the work that he has begun in his children, the scripture is very clear that he will be faithful to perform it. Whatever he started in you, this work of salvation, it's going to be completed. This work of grace that he started in your life, you are his poetry, the scripture says in Ephesians. You and I are his workmanship. We're his work of art that he has promised to complete. It's on him. It's his word. It's his promise. Let me tell you something. Don't find yourself at the end of this life looking back and saying, you know what, I sure would have enjoyed that a lot more if I would have just taken God at his word. Let's take God at his word on this side and be a Joseph who, looking ahead, says, I know that God's going to fulfill his word. I believe him. I take him at his word, and so I can live light in light of that promise. What does it show about this character, Joseph? Well, it shows that he knew what God had promised, that he knew that God's promise was going to stand, and he knew that the outworking of this, how it was going to happen, here's where we get caught, that the outworking of this was not his business. Has somebody ever sat down and started talking with you and you just look at him and you're thinking, you know what, this is a serious MYOB moment. You just need to mind your own business. Have you ever found people that sit in front of you and they ask you questions that nobody else is going to ask and nobody else should ask? It's just it's none of your business where I'm going. It's none of your business what I'm doing. It's none of your business what I'm spending. It's none of your business where I'm at in certain areas. You're just looking at them like, you cannot seriously be asking me this question. Well, so often we do the same thing with God. And really, our business is to trust him. His business is to take care of his children. Our business is to take him at his word. His business is to stay true to his word. We don't have to manipulate God's working in our life. We don't have to work it out. We don't have to make certain that all the behind the scenes, all the weaving and the tapestry of working all things together for his good is up to us. He works all things together for good to them that love him and those who are called according to his, not mine, but his purpose. He's going to finish that work. Joseph knew this. And that's the reason that Joseph could come to a place in his life where when everybody else was losing their minds, he kept his spirit in check because he took God at his word. What a beautiful picture of faith. He knew several things, what this explains about Joseph. It really shows you now how he reacted his entire life. You know, he recalled back. You have to remember that the lessons, young people, the lessons you're learning now, can I encourage you to journal? Can I encourage you to journal? And could I encourage you to keep a diary? Don't keep your diary. That's a little, you lose your man card keeping a diary. But you can't journal. Don't let anybody read your diary. But keep a diary. And write down those things of when God has used you in unique ways. When God has come through in your life in very unique ways. When you know it's just God. And it may seem like something small to anybody else that's looking on, but you know you prayed fervently for that, effectually for that, and God answered that prayer. Write it down, because I'll tell you the time will come when you go back through that and you look at those answers to prayer that they're going to once again reassure you. In Genesis 37, don't turn there, but in Genesis 37, Joseph recalled very vividly the dreams that God had given him. You remember the dreams about how the sheaves stood around and he was just dumb enough to tell his brothers about these dreams? That these sheaves, these haystacks, knelt down to the one in the center. And the one in the center, they asked him, well, who's the one in the center? And he answered them, shut up, Joseph. And then again, it comes just probably, I don't know, not very long after that. Now you have the sun, moon, and stars. Oh, let me guess, you're the one that they're all bowing down to. And even Jacob, his dad, said to him, shut up, Joseph. Well, now Joseph has a very vivid picture. And it wasn't just symbolism. These men were literally bowing down to him. God had seen these things brought, Joseph had seen these things that God had shown him earlier in life brought to pass. He knew things that no one else knew. He knew God's promise would stand. He knew God's working was God's business and not his. And he knew that there were bigger things, unseen things, cosmic things at work. Look, there's so much bigger than what's going on in our life right now. God is working in so many different places at the same time, and he's working it together. God is the great master planner. So everything in your life, when you think about connections, when I think about Joy and I and how we met and now even how our upbringing was with her growing up on the mission field and me growing up in a pastor's home and how that came together and how the Lord orchestrated all of this, that it was connected. That was not by accident. God is working all these things, and there's something much bigger going on than what you and I can see. And we simply trust him in that as his child. And then he explains the decision at his death. And the decision at his death is explained in this way. The normal Egyptian treatment that he was going to get, Joseph said no. No, I'm not going to be buried in the Valley of the Kings. I'm not going to be buried in a pyramid. And he had every right to be a part of the upper echelon. And as you and I both know and can attest millennia later, the Egyptians made a big, big deal of how their leaders were buried. Joseph said, no, just put me in a box. Just put me in the coffin in Egypt. I'm not going to go through the normal processes of what royalty does in Egypt, and even in the manner in which he's buried, even in the manner in which his body is kept, he is saying, I'm going to overcome what naturally should happen because I know that God has his promise still to fulfill. He says, one day, Joseph had already been to the cave of Machpelah. Joseph had already buried his dad's bones when you read the previous chapter. He said, one day, I can't do this now, but one day my bones are going to be buried. One day the Lord's going to visit. The affliction that he had told Abram about, God, Joseph couldn't really probably even conceive of the affliction. Right now, the Hebrew children, Joseph being the lead dog of all that, these guys were heroes to the Egyptians, and they would be for several years, but you give that over time, and eventually they became the rascals. They became the slaves. But he just took God at his word that one day the time's going to come that the children of Israel, after affliction, are going to be released. And I want to be where my fathers are. I want on the day of resurrection my body to come up in the land of promise, not in the land of slavery. I think this is a beautiful picture. By faith, here defined in this passage of Scripture, we overcome what's natural to us of worrying and fretting and doubting and trying to manipulate and work it out, knowing that what's been promised to us, maybe 400 years from now, but what's been promised to God, God's going to bring it to pass. Faith. It hears the word of God. It believes the word of God. It acts on the word of God, regardless of what circumstances are telling you. It just simply knows. It knows something that the natural world doesn't get. It knows that God will always perform what he promises in the lives of his children. Trust him. That is a great skeleton out of the closet. Let's stand together tonight.